Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during March. This will be a month of transition in several ways. First, clocks will change around the world, and we northerners will be switching to daylight or summer time. But the date for all that time shifting varies. It comes on March 12th in the U.S. and Canada, but it's 2 weeks later, the 26th, across Europe, and it's 3 weeks later in Mexico. For us sky watchers, daylight time can be a bit of a nuisance because it means the sky doesn't get dark until well into the evening hours, especially in midsummer. Don't get me started about all that. A second transition comes on March 20th at 6:29 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, when Earth reaches one of the two equinox points in its year-long orbit. This signals the beginning of northern spring, astronomically speaking, and the start of autumn south of the equator. The sun appears directly overhead, as seen from the equator at noon, and days and nights are everywhere 12 hours long. Equinox comes from the Latin word equinoctium, meaning equal nights. And check it out, on the equinox, the sun rises due east and sets due west no matter where you are. The third transition has to do with something going on in the sky. These past few months, we've gotten used to the dazzling beacon of Venus shining well up in the western sky after sunset. But that's going to change this month. Over the next few weeks, you can watch Venus drop rapidly in the sky after sunset, plunge isn't too strong a word, and then reappear in the east before dawn. Here's what to look for. Venus starts March at an altitude of about 30 degrees above the western horizon at sunset. That's three times the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. Night by night, it sinks toward lower right, closer and closer to the sun. On the 25th, it passes closest to the sun in the sky, skirting about 8 degrees to its north as it swings between us and the sun in its orbit. Astronomers call this lineup inferior conjunction. Now, ordinarily, the sun's glare would hide Venus from sight for several days. But that 8-degree miss is rather large, and that sets up a geometrical oddity. Late in the month, it's possible to glimpse Venus right after sunset and just before sunrise the next morning. To try seeing this yourself, you'll need a really unobstructed view, both toward east and west, and the sky has to be free of clouds or haze. The farther north you live, the easier this trick might be. For example, if you live near latitude 40 degrees north, which is roughly a line that goes from Denver through New York City to Madrid and Athens, Venus sets 30 minutes after the sun on March 22nd, and then rises 33 minutes before the sun the next morning. We don't get this double-take opportunity often, so give it a try. Meanwhile, the planet Mercury is putting on its own show, making an appearance in the evening sky that'll be the best one this year. Start looking around March 15th. Mercury will be low in the west, to the lower left of Venus. On the 18th, these two planets will be side by side, about a fist apart and 5 degrees up, 30 minutes after sunset. From then until month's end, Venus sinks, but Mercury actually gets a little easier to spot each night. Okay, what else is going on? Well, as March begins, you'll find the moon marching eastward in the evening sky. On the night of Saturday, March 4th, it will cover the bright star Aldebaran, marking the eye of Taurus the bull, and that will be visible virtually everywhere in the U.S. And because the moon is just a few hours away from first quarter, its dark half will encounter the star first. This means you can literally watch Aldebaran blink from view as the moon covers it. The exact time of this disappearing act varies depending on your location and time zone. For example, it's about 11:10 p.m. in New York City, 9:57 p.m. in Chicago, 8:33 in Denver, and 7:08 p.m. in Los Angeles. 60 to 80 minutes later, Aldebaran will pop back into view along the moon's bright limb. You can check out skyandtelescope.com for more details. Well, as March marches along, it'll be easier and easier to see the bright planet Jupiter over in the east. It rises a couple of hours after sunset, around 9 p.m. early in the month, but somewhat sooner, not long after twilight, by month's end. That bright star, about half a fist below Jupiter, is Spica, or Spica, depending, the anchor star in the constellation Virgo. Now, spring might be on our doorstep, but we've still got plenty of classic winter stars to enjoy. Orion is well up in the southwest as evening twilight ends. The row of three bright stars marking his belt make him easy to spot. For me, this belt is something of a signpost on the celestial highway. All three of those stars have names. Al-Nitaq, which means the girdle in Arabic. Al-Nilam, in the middle, translates to string of pearls. And Mintaka means the belt. They're all very close to the celestial equator. That is, if you took Earth's equator and expanded it out into space, it would pass right through Mintaka. Look for the brilliant and slightly orange star Betelgeuse above the belt and icy white Rigel below it. These mark Orion's shoulder and foot. Follow the belt's row to the right to spot Aldebaran, and a little farther, look for the tight cluster of stars called the Pleiades. Follow the belt to the left, and you'll soon run into Sirius, the brightest star in the nighttime sky. Now, Sirius isn't nearly as bright as Venus, but then again, it's not as close to the setting sun. So which will you see first as darkness falls? Keep an eye on the horizon directly below Sirius. It's located due south at 8 p.m. on March 1st, and, thanks to the shift to summertime, it'll also be due south at 8 p.m. on March 15th. Well above Sirius, and to the left of Betelgeuse, is the star Procyon. It's the alpha star in the constellation Canis Minor, the little dog. And Sirius anchors Canis Major, the big dog. Sirius and Procyon are practically next-door neighbors, cosmically speaking. They're only 9 and 11 light-years away, respectively. These two beacons, together with Betelgeuse, make a nice big equilateral triangle about 2.5 fists on a side up in the sky. Stargazers call this the winter triangle, but there's an even bigger geometric pattern in view, with Betelgeuse at its center. It's a giant hexagon, with corners marked by Aldebaran, Rigel, Sirius, and Procyon. Look up from there to spot the twin stars of Pollux and Castor, and complete the hexagon with Capella, not quite overhead, but very bright. Next month, I'll talk about some carnivores that are stalking upward in the eastern sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.